Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's going on with you this morning? This beautiful Tuesday morning.
You know, I'm just enjoying September and we just wrapped up Below Deck last night. I couldn't be happier. Actually, I'm in a tremendous mood because it means I no longer have to watch this season of Below Deck because I thought it was the worst season they've ever had. I'm saying it right now,
really?
Everyone. I'm saying it right now. I thought it was insufferable.
Disagree.
Yeah, I thought it was terrible. It actually got to me. I thought it was going to be the best season. I thought it opened up so strong. And as it went along, I started to realize this is actually the opposite. This season was absolutely insufferable for me. And I languished my way through the last night's episode. Languished. But you know, it's Below Deck. You know, they have good seasons, bad seasons. This one just did not really hit for me, unfortunately. Sorry.
Well, I wish it hit Selene because I was really hoping that this was going to be a fight between Rainbow and Selene that would end up in a fight on an island with somebody dead, you know? And then no. I was like, wow, will Selene and that guy do it? You know, I was very invested. So yeah. What can I say? You know, I was like, I hope the toilet gets cleaned, but I enjoyed it. Everyone, welcome to the show. We did Amazon Live this week. It was so much fun. We do those every other Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific over on Amazon. You can get links on our Instagram, link in bio. Also, when we're not doing that every other Monday, we are doing Crappy Hour at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So that'll be this coming Monday. So join us for that. That's super fun. You can find that on Patreon for free or on Instagram. Or on YouTube, our YouTube channel. YouTube, you can also find a bunch of free videos because we put all of our video recaps up there a week after they're released. If you want them new, you get them on Patreon, like right now, like all you people watching right now, fresh on Patreon. Hello, Crappens on Demand. Also, that's where you get our bonus episodes. We've got a few trailer trashes up there, which is where we trash trailers. We did Real Housewives of Potomac and Real Housewives of, what was the other thing? No. Below Deck Mediterranean, which starts, what, next week or something. And yeah. We'll probably do a wife swap. I don't know. We haven't talked about it, but wife swap is coming out on Bravo. So there should be a trailer for that. I don't know. But go check over on Patreon to find all that good stuff. And today it's Below Deck Season 12, Episode 16.
Season 12.
Over by the rainbow.
Yeah, over the rainbow. Sorry, Margaret Joseph. Margaret Joseph's over rainbow. By the way, speaking about that, Bravo wife swap. I thought it was that like the housewives swap families, but they just swap with normies. I did not realize that. Did you know that?
No, I still didn't know that until you told me right now. So they're not swapping with each other?
No, I watched the little sizzle reel or whatever it was that they released today. And it was like Melissa Gorga saying something like, oh my God, I have to go to Idaho. And Emily Simpson being like, oh God, I have to go. And I just assumed that like Emily was taking over Wendy's family or something like that. But then they showed at the end of the trailer or like the commercial, like some just like normies being like, what have I gotten myself into? So it'll be an interesting show for sure.
Well, I feel like that's like a real life wife swap because, you know, the name comes from kind of swinging, right? Like wife swap. And I feel like swingers, when you swap, you always get someone homelier or as homely as your current partner. You know, I don't think it ever works where you get someone better. So I think that makes sense. It's like, wow, we're swapping, but is the grass really greener? No, we're all basics. Yeah.
I don't know if my person would want to swap into any of the Real Housewives lives. I don't know. I feel like we see them on TV and I'm not sure I see like the upside of suddenly like swapping in and like pretending that Shane is my husband.
No one needs Joe Gorga running around their house screaming about how he needs to get the poison out. Nobody needs that.
No one needs that at all.
I know things that are normal on Housewives would probably be considered like assault on a regular show. You know, Emily's going to go in there and diagnose everybody's child with something and be like, oh, I don't love you as much. I just don't love you as much. I'm trying to divorce everybody's husband.
I think this is basically just Bravo's attempt to do like some sort of like maximal crappy lake situation, sending housewives off into like rural areas where it's like, oh my God, this is crazy. The kids all need to get their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and go to school. So,
well, I think if you want us to watch how Real Housewives deal with the real world, I want to see them take on these jobs that are like under fire for being, you know, terrible. Like send them to the iPhone factory, you know, send them to, you know, the shipping, like the shipping places where they have to go, you know, work with no breaks and stuff like that. Do that. That's what I want to see. I want to see Angie trying to figure out how to lead a train union.
It is time to organize. I hope that they bring back Marguerite Perrin for Perrin, the crazy lady from Wife Swap. Like when Wife Swap originally aired, in like 2005, the only episode that was ever worth watching was that crazy lady, Marguerite. Do you remember that? That lady who was like this God fear. She was like, I'm a God warrior. She was crazy. And
oh, I saw the clips of that. Oh, yeah. She's like, these are sinners. These are people of Satan.
That was truly the best. Like Wife Swap, like kind of like climax in that moment. And, it was great. It was a great time for all of us.
Did Joe Gorga. Thoughts. Super weird. Super weird.
Let's resurrect that lady on Twitter with Joe Gorga. How about that?
I'm down. But in the meantime, we're going to have a Below Deck swap because Below Deck will be switching over to Anyone Need a Hug? Below Deck Med next week.
Below Deck Med.
Yeah.
Let's more of a spit swap.
Capri pants swap. Okay. Who's in my ankle socks? Okay. So here we go. Below Deck, season 12, episode 16, Over the Rainbow. We get interviews and we know that it's the end of the season because there's like lots of green screen. They didn't even put anything up. They're like, guys, this is what it looks behind the scenes. It's a green screen.
They are acting like Scandoval is about to happen on this boat. Like, we made it. America has seen this crazy, riveting season of people banging each other. Oh, how's it all going to shake out? I'm like, why are they making it seem like we're doing a cameras pick back up episode? It's just the maids. The maids are just, they're finishing up their charter. They're like picking the toilet bowl one last time.
Every day is hell. So you've got to be ready for hell, Anthony. And then we see flashbacks of Anthony losing his mind and throwing dish rags. Dun, dun, dun.
It's his best act. And then we see like, oh my God, all this stuff. And then we see Kelly being kicked off the boat. Damn it, rats! And then we see Kyle and he's like with Helen on the beach. And oh my God, so much scandal happened.
Isn't it funny how Kelly's whole thing, like, you Democrats, you're all Democrats. Like how fitting that is right now. In this time, just seeing that clip, I was like, well, you got to give it to Below Deck. They keep it modern because that's basically if you turn on the news right now, that's basically what's happening. Everyone's like, Democrats, it was Democrats. I'm like, you're all a bunch of fucking Kellys. Sit down, all of you. So Anthony's like, yeah, tonight's an incredibly big challenge because we do have a lot of restriction. I do it for you, daddy. I do it for you, daddy. He kept saying that in this episode, like, daddy. I'm doing this gluten-free plate for you, daddy. This is all for you, daddy. I'm figuring out the fish-free, gluten-free for you, daddy. It's like, okay, could you just leave your dad alone? Okay. Let him rest in peace, this poor guy. He's like, please, son, stop throwing the dish rag.
The son, I'm sorry, but I am in heaven now. I cannot pay attention to your 8-course meal. There are real celebrities up here. I spoke to Matt Napoleon last night. He's real cool. I don't know why people say he's a complex. He is a complex personality, but you know, come on, like you're kind of interrupting my flow right now, son.
So the captain is going to be eating at the table tonight, which could send Anthony over the edge. He spends half an hour really plucking those eyebrows to make sure he's ready, and he's ready. He's done. So Anthony's
he's going to just bust out he's going to pull out his best mommy dearest look for tonight's meal. Like 8 courses.
It really is.
Every course I have to do, that's one more lash that comes out.
Brown. Yeah, he's like, I'm 90s eyebrows today, people. We're going to do this. Back in the day before gluten allergies, let's do this.
So everyone sits down for the big fire and ice dinner. And then everything is, there's so many slow-mo shots. I don't know why they just, it's been a lot all season, but this episode, they were like, okay, Cindy, one episode left. Just give us everything. We know you've come up with a lot of good slow-mo filters. She's like, yes, I'm going to do it. It's like someone sitting down in a chair. It's like slow motion close-up of a lady taking her seat. Slow motion close-up of putting something in the oven. By the way, also, the other thing is this. Okay, Anthony has a lot of stress. He's got to do an 8-course meal before these damn fireworks go off. Can the producers, get out of his way? Must they put a GoPro on the sheet pan that he puts into the oven? Because you know he's like, I just want to cook my food. They're like, no, stop. We have to put a GoPro into the sheet pan.
I noticed
so
that
we know what
too.
It's like to be put into an oven. I'm like, why are you doing this poor man? Let him cook.
I was cracking up at that too, the GoPro on the sheet pan. I'm like, oh, okay, wow. Now we know what it's like, the life inside of an oven. Finally, that's why that other guy quit too. That original chef was like, get out of my kitchen. I'm trying to cook. God damn it. Get these cameras out of here. I can't do it. And they're like, just get someone desperate enough to put a GoPro on a sheet pan and make sure he's barely got eyebrows left. Please, please, whoever it is.
Please get your GoPro out of my polenta. Oh, daddy says you can put GoPro on my polenta. Go ahead. Go for it.
Barcelona, GoPro. So, he's stressed out. And I just love that only Anthony could make fireworks this stressful. He's like, oh, we have firework tonight. I do this for you, Danny. I do it for you. So he introduces the dinner, the fire and ice tasting. For the first course, it's iced avocado mousse over black garlic paste. Gross. Iced avocado mousse? That's like frozen guacamole.
I'm okay with that.
I want my guac room temp. Don't serve me some fucking iced avocado.
Listen, you are on Super Yacht with Culinary Food for Daddy. Come on, be open to these things. So they have it. They enjoy their iced avocado mousse. And then Barbara and Jess are in the crew mess talking. Jess is like, I didn't know where you were. Oh, I thought you were in a different room, and I walked in that room and you weren't there. And if I had only paid attention, I would have known you weren't in that room. It is the consequences of my actions.
Oh, you're off in August. What if I meet up with you in August instead of now? Do you think that would be okay? Because we could spend more time together.
You want to go to New York and fuck your butt off in New York. Yeah. I'm convinced that she, and you know, I hate saying this because I really like Barbara, but I think Jess is totally using her for real estate. She's using her for
100%. 100%. Barbara needs to start working on looking at red flags. Okay. If you're working amongst the waves anyway, so you should be paying attention to these flags, because this is so obvious to anyone watching that this lady is purely using it. When she says, maybe instead of hanging out now, let's hang out in several months from now. No, we all know what that means. Come on, Barbara. And then Barbara says, well, I do have feelings for Jess. I mean, part of me really wants to see where this goes. But I had a long distance relationship before, and it's something that I definitely don't want to have again, because I know how easily I get hurt. I'm confused. It's not nice. You know, if you get easily hurt, why are you messing with this lady right now?
Because she's really hot. I mean, look, we all know what that's like, and I get it. You know, red flags don't mean anything. When the person is hot enough, a red flag just looks like a sheet. You know, it's like, I can like fuck under that sheet, you know, lay it down. Let's fuck on it. You know, I'll take that red flag because, you know, a person's hot enough. You put that to the side. I get it.
I guess so. I'll allow it.
But protect your real estate. You know, even when you're renting, it's still yours, you know, protect it because you live somewhere like New York. People will be coming to see you all the time and you need to start protecting yourself. So, Barbara, you know, Jess is like, where do we stand in our relationship? Well, I mean, you just fucked someone else in the shower about 5 minutes ago. So can we not talk about our relationship right now? You little fucking apart, you little couch surfer, you little cooch surfer. So, Barbara's like, well, I think we keep in touch. And she goes, oh, exactly what I wanted to hear. Just keep in touch.
She probably literally wants to keep in touch. So then Anthony serves his next course. He's torching, he's bruleeing. This is an onion brulee for daddy. Because everything he brulees, everything for fire is literally, he just lights on fire. So then he brings on
onion brulee. This was the longest service of all time. He's like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to have time to do this before firework. Please, daddy, give me strength. He brulees that even with editing on TV, I was like, wow, you're doing each one at the table. Each one is taking at least 2 minutes. Can they eat their damn brulee? Do this in the back.
I know. That was Fraser who said that. He's like, shouldn't you be doing this up at the table? I think they'd like to see it. I'm like, I don't want to see someone like... I thought that same thing. I was like, just do it ahead of time and bring it out all at once. Cause I don't want to be sitting there. If I'm number one in the brulee line, if you brulee and I have to sit there and just like wait
for
everyone else to get bruleed when there's like eight ladies there.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, by the way, you're correct. Everything does look really good. I think he did a great job with this final dinner thing.
Yeah.
But it was very literal. You know, fire and ice, everything will be on fire. I will make everything on fire, literal fire. You know, you could have, you took the assignment extremely literally, but, you know, it did look good. So onion brulee. And then, one of the guests is like, oh, but I'm ice. I'm only allowed to talk about cool things. Well, you failed so far. All of you ladies on this boat. Whoa.
You didn't talk enough about cool things. Yeah, they definitely did not have that. So then there's some steak au poivre and there's more flames on that. And then there's like a mushroom thing. And then one of the ladies is like, I'm not tasting mushroom. And like, really, Kathy? I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, whatever. And just moves on. I'm like, we're just going to move on from the lady who doesn't taste mushroom. There was a time in our lives when Below Deck would gear an entire episode over a lady not tasting the mushroom in her mushroom dish. And there would be a commercial break and there'd be promos and it would be a cliffhanger and it'd be like, we're not going to get our tip. And now it's just like, I just am not tasting mushroom. And everyone says, get over it. And then we go back to watching Jess and Barbara or Celine and Kyle and Damo downstairs. It's just, I want petty service issues back front and center on Below Deck.
But also fuck that lady because she was just trying to have her Top Chef regular person moment where they have those challenges where it's, they show the audience eating, you know, and they're like, we're regular people and I don't appreciate that there's no mushroom. And they're just trying to get their camera time. And I think everyone knew she was just trying. And so they're like, shut up, Kathy, because it was mushroom risotto. Okay. It was risotto covered in mushroom, like there was mushrooms everywhere. It was brown. And she was like, I'm really not getting any mushroom. Like, you really need to try harder, Kathy, because this is literally covered in mushrooms. She's like, what? Mushrooms? Where are mushrooms? You're eating a mushroom right now.
Do you know what a mushroom tastes like, Kathy? You know what it tastes like, Kathy? I mean, I tasted mushrooms. I was watching it. That's why I was like, this should have been a cliffhanger, because this lady is obviously an awful person. Because she's clearly trying to have a moment with the mushrooms. And it's just her luck that she's on the season where they don't care about moments like these anymore.
Yeah. And then there's no spoons for the ice cream. So, uh-oh. So people have to start running around. Spoons. Yes, they have to run around. It's like a huge moment. And then is a baked Alaska with Grand Marnier. Because you know what you can do with that? Start it on fire. And so he does. Because it's fire. And guess what else it is? Ice. Fire and ice.
Fire and ice. And you know what else it is? A state. And it's baked. Someone baked the state. Alaska. a lot of things. It's a geography lesson. It's a reference to Northern Exposure.
It could see Russia from its house.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Sometimes the police have just 24 hours to gather enough information to charge someone who they believe has committed a serious crime. Could you gather enough information on motive, means and opportunity before the time runs out? If you're fascinated by true crime, then join us in October 2026 for CrimeCon London. Meet the biggest names in true crime TV, experience live forensic demonstrations, and dive deep into the criminal mind with your favourite authors, experts, podcasters, and content creators. From cold case reviews to immersive sessions with crime scene experts and police dogs, this is your chance to be part of the UK's biggest true crime event. Go to crimecon.co.uk now to secure your tickets. CrimeCon London, partnered by True Crime Channel, 3rd and 4th of October 2026. The clock is ticking. To secure your place, go to crimecon.co.uk now and be part of the UK's biggest true crime community.
So then, let's see. So Fraser's like, he fucking nailed it. Look at the excitement on my face. The guests always love your food. Why do you doubt yourself? Is it because I'm running around you saying, don't fail, don't fail, don't fail. You smell, don't fail. Possibly.
I just always have this feeling to feel like it was not enough and I'm going to work on that, you know? It's like, but I'm so glad I put my faith in you to come back and show America that I'm not a dickwad after all. Yes, but without you, I would never be at this level on this season. So thank you. Thank you for recommending we brulee at the table. Otherwise, I would still be shitty, shitty chef down in the galley.
I hope to see you for many, many more seasons together. I'm sorry I'm busy that day, but thank you. Thank you so much.
So Kyle and Solane are cuddling up and, Kyle's in love, you know. He's like, we've been through a lot, but we both made terrible decisions along the way. And there's been deceit, but now we're back. And I'm not with Solane, but there's definitely feelings. Maybe me more so than her, but I'm just such an emotional guy. You're drunk. You're drunk with the shakes. And I think you're just going to take any blanket that passes you. And also, she's extremely hot. It's not like she's some great hot love story. Yeah, he's like, she's extremely hot. I love her so deeply.
Damaged. You're damaged and you're looking for a fairy tale to make it seem like all the damage isn't there, but you're damaged. This is not going to work out. And you like, I don't care that he wants to bang Solane because she is super hot, but like him saying stuff that there's emotions involved. I'm like, please, sir, can you not bore us with this ridiculousness? Why are you attaching emotions to this person who already showed you earlier this season that she has no interest in any emotions back towards you? And that's fine as well. But now you're going to burden us with your emotional bullshit that like we all can be like, we know your emotional bullshit's fake too. And you're just doing this to make us like feel some sort of like, oh, poor Kyle. Kyle has it rough. And like, I don't want to hear it from you
guys on a reality show, like, especially this one, do that. They're like, oh, my feelings are so hurt. They always do that at the end of the season so that they can go to bars and girls are like, oh, my God, your heart was so hurt. I can help you. They're like going for the, the post-season pousse. That's what they're going for.
Yeah.
And I'm not buying it. And the only reason you like her is, A, she's hot, and B, you're an alcoholic and she has wine and cigarette breath.
Yeah, I think that really is it. It's just like, I kind of just want him to just stand in it and say like, yeah, she's hot. I just want to bang her a little bit. But when he's like, oh, I can't help it. I just get emotionally attached. I'm like, sir, we saw you banging on the piss laden floor of a bathroom 3 weeks ago. And by the way, when they showed the flashback,
you stuck your wiener in Big Ange like 4 weeks ago.
And also, like, he really talks like this is like the great romance of our times. And when they show, like, at some point during this episode, they show flashbacks. And maybe it could be here where he's like, we've had our ups and our downs. And they show, like, when he and Solane first got together, that was 20 days ago. And then their issue that they had was 11 days ago. I'm like, you're talking about it. This is 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, don't just bang and enjoy it. Like, please don't give us all this emo crap alone. I don't want to have to be invested. It's not so much that I'm invested in the emo crap. It's that then the show gets invested in it. And then we have slow moments and sadness and... Oh, I'm like, I can't, I cannot. I'm really on one today. I'm sorry, Ronnie. I don't know why I'm really like, I don't know why I'm steaming mad today, but I am really on one today about Below Deck.
No, I get it. Look, and you're someone who loves Love Island. So my initial thought is like, you love it on Love Island, but I think it's different because that's that. Love Island. And that's what exactly. You do on Love Island. But this, exactly. I want to see you clean a toilet. And that's it. It's very important to me. I want to see you clean a toilet. I want to see you forget the forks. I want to see you figure out how to blow up balloons for ice and fire. That's what I want to see.
That's exactly correct. And I thought about that. I actually had that exact same thought process, which is like, I love when there's this drama on Love Island, but like, it's not like this. This isn't Love Island. And so it's not what I'm tuning in for.
This is Toilet Brush Island. Okay.
It's Toilet Island.
It's Toilet Brush Island. Get out your toilet brush. I have no interest in you without a cleaning product in your hand. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so tiresome. So just to hear
like the entertainment. About, like, I go to the car wash, the entertainment is the bristles coming down over my car and me being in it going, I'm dying, as the things splash you and all that. That's the entertainment. I don't want to go through there and just watch the car wash guys fucking. That's just, just not the place for that. Squirt my car, not me.
You really should stop driving convertibles to the car wash, Ronnie. No wonder why they're so traumatic.
I'm taking my best breath through the car wash.
Like, ow, 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 ow. I'm dying.
So Fraser, this is also an episode where Fraser acts like he just won an Emmy Award. He's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe we're here. My crew this season dealt with different obstacles and challenges. There were dinners, there were picnics, toilet cleanings. It feels like we've been chased by a feral dog with rabies, but we pulled it off. Well done to us. I'm very proud. Ow! I actually just got bit by a feral dog with rabies. Damn it, you caught me. That would have made the season, actually, if there was a feral dog with rabies. That would have improved this.
I would love that. I would love that as like a story arc, because... that's actually one frontier that reality TV has truly not taken us to is just the feral rabies storyline. As long as it's caught early and there's no true danger, then it's great. Obviously, we don't want anyone to get true rabies. I remember one time, like when I was like 22, my friend Kate had a party and another Kate like slept overnight at the party, and then she woke up in the morning and she had like a bruise and she was confused. So she went to the doctor and they were concerned that a rabid bat had bit her in the middle of the night. So she had to have rabies shots for a few weeks.
Oh, and, man.
Yeah. And I just thought, man, that sucks. But also a hilarious concept. The bat got in the middle of the night and bit her and gave her rabies. But by the way, I've always been afraid of rabies. I don't know. I've had this irrational fear.
That's not irrational. That is a rational fear of getting rabies. It's everywhere.
Like growing up, my house was sort of like, it was like surrounded by like, sort of like a big wooded area. Like my driveway was like, I had to walk like down this long driveway to get to the bus stop. And I was always afraid a rabid raccoon was going to come out of the woods and bite me.
Yeah. I read
Very Fresh, Cujo, which is when I really was
like 12 and I have, I always wanted someone around me to get rabies. I didn't necessarily want to get it. But like Cujo is basically a mom and her son hiding in a car as this dog is attacking their car. And they're like, oh my God, how do we get to the front door? And the car won't start. And then, oh God, now we have to get around. Now we have to get around this dog. That's the whole book. And it was so scary. And I just always wanted to find a way to get my sister rabies, because I can imagine like me and my mom hiding in the station wagon while my sister is banging up against the car. My sister's like so sweet, by the way. So just imagining her all feral out there like, let me in, mommy, let me in, and we just wouldn't let her in. That was always my dream as a kid, which is probably kind of sick. As far as Fraser goes, saying things like, feels like we've been chased with a feral dog with rabies, Fraser seems fine and everything. I think he did an okay job this season, but overall, my overall note is I need more cowbell. And that's it.
Mm.
I feels like we've been chased by a feral dog with rabies. Like, you're fired. you know?
Yeah, I think
get
it's,
out.
I think it's time. I think it's time.
I need more.
Razor. Also, because like, honestly, like, he did an all right job. I think that Celine, fucking sucks. I'm sorry. Celine sucks.
I love her and she's an icon.
I feel like I was like that with her for so long. I was like, she's hilarious. Like she has this really ridiculous attitude. But then I had this moment last night where I was like, you know, we all know she's a terrible worker. It's like, she's a terrible worker. But I had a moment last night watching this show where I was like, you know what? I think I like just in time for the season to end, I kind of hit my wall with her and I went from being like, oh, she's so amusing to like, she's like, she fucking sucks. I'm sorry. Celine fucking sucks. She like is a bad worker. She's obnoxious. She really only cares about herself. And you know that Bravo's going to bring her back because she's kind of a breakout star of the season. And she's already going to be on Love Island Games. So I just feel like, I don't know. I'm just like, she sucks. And Fraser should have like acknowledged, like he should have seen that. And he should have seen like how much work other people were having to put in because of her. And because he had some sort of like ego thing that he was like, not going to fire someone because he wanted to change his image for the season. I think that's shitty because other people had to suffer for what he wanted to prove to like himself in America. And he should have fired Celine a long time ago. And that is my feeling on that.
Well, other people may have suffered, but I gained because she brought me so much entertainment. Like I literally, if they sold posters of Celine, I would buy one and put it in my room. Like I love her. And I think that the reason he kept her was because as bad as she was, it made him look better in his mind to the audience because he was finding a way to keep her. And so that was his only, so I think his big arc for the season was like, look at me. I've gotten to the point where I don't fight with anyone, even if they're Celine. Didn't I do a good job? When meanwhile, it means he kind of did a bad job because he didn't, he can't win. You know, I'm sure in his mind, he's like, I can't win with these fucking people. You know, like first they're mad at me for fighting with people and firing them. And now they're mad at me for not fighting with someone and firing them. But the thing is, you were in trouble before because you were like having like really weird, immature fights with a bunch of girls, which is never a great look. Honestly, and you were taking it too, you were getting way too personal with it and getting way too like bitchy with people in your job. And it was unprofessional. You know, it wasn't that you thought Camille sucked. Camille did suck. It's like how you went about it was very immature. So, you know, you can't win. You didn't win, but thank you for keeping Celine.
I mean, look, my Celine feeling kicked in right at the right time. I got like whole season's worth of entertainment from her. And then at the last minute, I just sort of had this moment of like, oh, Bravo's going to probably bring this girl back. And that's so shitty because she is like, she's bad. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but she's like so self-involved. She's so obnoxious and she causes so much damage to people around her. I was like, God, she really sucks. And I think what was terrible is that like Fraser, I think in the past, maybe he got in trouble for like wanting to fire someone too quickly. And so like, it was good that he like really tried to work with someone and tried to make it last. But at a certain point, like, you know, you're rewarding someone for getting marginally better and punishing someone who's actually working really, really hard, like Rainbow. And I just think that's like, I don't know. I think that's like bullshit. And I think that she should have been, symbolically fired for this last episode, personally, even though the charter was over. I think they still fire her ass.
Yeah, just on the last day. He's like, we're not going to fire her on the drop day. And I think the audience would have really liked him more if he had been like, you're terrible. Please leave. And then, you know, we could have just watched Rainbow like have a nervous breakdown as she had to change all the sheets herself. I mean, that would have been a good ending.
In fact, I actually thought that that's we were going to be getting that. I was like, okay, there will be some justice. Anyway, enough of my ranting. I'm sorry. I'm just really ranting today.
Why are you sorry? That's like, what we do. We sit around here and bitch about things.
No. I'm not even in a bad mood. I'm just like, maybe I'm in a bad mood. I don't know. Am I in a bad mood?
I don't know. Are you in a bad mood? Well, this is also like kind of an early morning recording for us. We had a meeting that we had to get up for on the East Coast this morning, so we're recording a little early. But I like it.
I don't think I'm in a bad mood.
If this is a bad mood, I like it. I think I'm
in a good mood.
Listen, who cares? You're allowed to sit around and bitch. Who are you apologizing to? That's all we do every day. So anyway, it's a final night of charter And there's a fireworks show. It's huge. And everyone acts like they've never seen fireworks before. They're like, oh my God, it's firework. Thank you, Daddy. I did it for you, Daddy. And yeah, fireworks. It is cool seeing them close up like that, because this is where like fireworks can kill you. You know, where they're so close. They didn't, though. It's like there's no feral dogs. No one got hit by a firework. So it's all kind of a letdown.
Yeah. Remember the time when they did a big fireworks show, July 4th fireworks show down in San Diego, and there was an error and they set off all the fireworks all at once?
You know, oh, my God. About? Yeah. That's terrible. There was something that happened like that this summer somewhere, and it was insane. Like a fireworks factory went off. It was like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. That happens every once in a while. Once in a while, someone like something goes wrong in a fireworks factory and it's real chaos. But I just remember that San Diego thing that all these people showed up, found a picnic blanket and got ready for their big fireworks show. And they all went off in 5 seconds and it was over. And it was like, wait, what? Oh, God. Fireworks. They're hilarious.
Fun
times. Fraser says, I finished this season with the same interior team, and I'm so happy about it. Every season has different personalities. Every year is a whole new game and test. But this year, I think I passed.
No, you failed. You did not fire your worst stew, who was terrible. Okay, I'm going to say you failed on this one.
And they give him a big stamp that said, passed. I wish it was spelled P-A-S-T. I'm the past, because they had a commercial for Below Deck Med, and just seeing Daisy with her new haircut, I was like, why am I so excited to just see Daisy with a new haircut and like on a different boat? I was like, this is the excitement I need when I see the Chief Stew coming back. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what Daisy's like. What's she going to do without Gary? What's she going to do without Paula? What's going to happen? And I just, you know, I'm sorry, Fraser, I just don't feel it. So Carrie,
Just so people will write in, Daisy was actually in the Salt Lake City preview, because they're going to go on to the Below Deck Down Under boat on Salt Lake City this season. Uh-huh. Not mad.
Yep. That's right.
I'm saying that only because other people will say, actually, it wasn't Below Deck Med that you saw it on.
That was Down Under. You're right. Yeah. But still. You know, and well, that one had
your
Aisha,
point about excitement.
And that's another one. Aisha also had that cute haircut. They both got that same short bob kind of haircut, actually. So yeah. I did see a bob. So I was correct about that. I was very excited about another bob, but it was Aisha's bob. And I felt the same excitement about her. You know,
you felt so you both bobs got were exciting, as they should be.
You know what? You've been out entertained by two bobs, Fraser. Okay, two separate bobs have both out entertained you.
If Fraser comes on next season with Aisha's little bob, that would be hilarious. I've changed up my look a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, Fraser's like, I'm doing what I can this season. The audience said that they liked bobs. So here I am, back with the bob.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Carrie is happy, and you know, he's like, that dinner was fucking amazing, a true culinary adventure. It's like, thank you again, Captain Daddy, for trusting me and bringing me here. I was like, oh yeah, for me to have the opportunity to see you flourish is pretty amazing, bro. I'm very proud of Anthony. He's come a very long way, and he's had he's not the same chef that he used to be. He's had a few hard knocks, made some mistakes, but he ended up doing great, and he's grown to be the chef that I always knew he could be. A chef with impossibly thin eyebrows.
You see, Daddy? Thank you, Daddy. This is for you, Daddy.
As the chef leaves, as the captain leaves. So Damo hangs with the guests and is still, you know, they're still wooing about things. They're like, oh my God, a baked Alaska. Woo! Fireworks. Woo! We're single. Woo! And Damo's like, wow, they're a huge temptation. Look, they're hot. They're rich enough to charter a yacht. And if you're looking for a future ex-fiance, I'm here to play. You're so gross. And also, someone posted in a comment on Instagram, I think her name was Betty Ba or Betty Ba. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. I promised myself I would remember your name because I freaking loved this comment. She said, Damo looks just like Steve Martin. I cannot get it out of my head yet. He has Steve Martin face. He has his face. None of his charm or talent, unfortunately, but he's definitely got the face.
Steve Martin face with like 1987 Annie Potts hair.
Yes. Yes. Isn't it crazy? He has his exact face.
It is wild, actually.
Only herpes in the building. So he checks on the guests. He's like, is there anything you need? And they're like, probably. Woo. Woo. Please fuck one of those basic bees. Please. Please do it. I dare you. You fucking hypocrite.
So now it's late at night. And Selene and Rainbow, it's their final lates. And Rainbow is like, oh my God, this is the last lates list. Oh my God, this is fucking good, bro. Yeah. And Selene's like, yes, this is the last one. It's the last one. She's like, I hate doing this. Me too. Me too. Tonight is the last. So I want to play. I want to have fun because I really work hard. I do my best all the time, period. Okay. And this, I think this is the time for celebrating and no more fucking lists.
So she pours herself a gigantic glass of wine. And then the guests are hanging out on the deck and they're talking about drinking and wanting to do shots. Let's do shots with Damo. He's so sexy. Tell us about Martin Short. Is he really funny? So they do an ice luge shot thing. And then let's see. So Selene is doing shots with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's doing that. And Rainbow sees that. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? I'm so irritated. Taking shots with guests, doing fuck all at night. Like, I don't understand how you are this selfish and narcissistic. Fuck all this bullshit, you stupid bitch.
I'll see you in the Dutch island. One woman enters, two women enter, one woman leaves. So Selene is like, okay, go from some bed. Okay, Demo, go stand in front of some bed. I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump on you. I'm going to jump like this. So just be ready. And Rainbow's like, yeah, okay, Mary Lou Bratton. Can we just like do whatever we're going to do after work? Because I really need Selene to like be here and like that way I can go to bed. Okay. So it's, oh la la. Oh la la, of course, today. Okay, Demo, like, it's last day. We don't care. Okay, don't, okay, move your arm away. And then Selene just, like, runs across the deck and, like, jumps onto Demo in such a way. I actually rewound this a few times. So I was like, how did she do that? She, like, jumped and, like, her legs wound up, like, above his shoulders.
So, oh, you know, she was above his shoulders? I thought she was just, like, on his waist.
No, those legs were up by his neck.
Wow.
I was like, finally, you do something skillful, skill-based.
Yeah. Now, if you could only, you know, maybe do that with a fork and knife in your cooch, you could set a table decently.
That's all she needed.
Yeah. So now Dainbow's with Rainbow, and he's asking if she needs help. And she's like, I'm done, too. I'm just doing laundry. I mean, So-So might need a hand, but I'm not helping her. And if I was the chief stew, I would never hire her. And he's like, well, she's not a yachty. She's a socialite. A socialite? That's a pretty loose use of that term. Where'd he come up with that? She's not a socialite. What has she ever donated other than her spit?
Yeah, I'm not sure. She's social lights off. So then, and he's like, and you don't ever have to work with her ever again. So she's like, I'm fucking thankful. Okay. So now Deimos goes down, and now Selene is like doing handstands. She's like, oh, this is nice. This is nice. Doing handstands. This is nice. Also, I love when she like jumped into Deimos' arms. Afterwards, she's like, I love to jump. So now she's like jumping and doing handstands. Maybe she was like a gymnast at some point. Did she ever say she was like training to be a gymnast as a child? She's surprisingly like athletic.
No, but I like that the producers were like, okay, Selene, it's the season finale. Nothing has happened. Just please try to give Rainbow a nervous breakdown. She's like, okay, I will do. I'm not children. So she's just going to do whatever she can. And this has to kill Rainbow because she's also jumping all over the guy that Rainbow's been flirting with, you know, which Rainbow's not going to like either. And then he does the ultimate when he says, good night, Cinderella. Because he's not saying, like, good night, Cinderella from the ball. He's saying good night, Cinderella on the ground picking up little rice bits so she can eventually take a bath and go to a ball. You know, it's like she just gets kicked in the nuts over and over again tonight.
Yeah, she really does. So then it's like 3:30 in the morning and Selena is like drinking this wine and Rainbow comes into the salon and she's like, you're not supposed to be drinking. She's like,
I know.
The only reason I'm awake is because you're taking so long to finish.
I'm still working. I'm not just chilling. I'm doing work too.
Bro, I want to go to bed, okay?
No, I know it's not funny. I know it's not funny.
Are you fucking kidding me? No, you know what? Fuck you, bro. Fuck you.
Fuck you, bro. Fuck you, Dutch.
I've only ever tried to help you, and you're standing there and you're laughing. I genuinely think you are the worst person I've ever had to work with.
No. I'm sorry.
You don't even give a fuck. You don't even give a fuck. I am genuinely so thankful I never have to work with you again. At this point, I am just like so over it, okay?
I don't know. You don't have to be pink. You don't have to be pink like that. I don't know why you're so pink. Why are you pink?
Well, her name is literally Rainbow, but like her face is red. She's screaming so hard. And by the way, they're also screaming. There are guests downstairs. I was like, you guys both need to shut it right now. Like you're acting like it's an off day, but there are guests down there. And of course, I thought this was going to be a thing. The guests heard fighting and it gets back to Captain Carey and they both are going to get reprimanded. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So it's the final day, 7 a.m. I have a 3-page long letter from Rainbow because, of course, Rainbow's like, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell on her. I'm going to tell on so-so. Oh, good one, Rainbow. First of all, you've told on her for the past 3 weeks over like stupid shit. Like I saw her standing there like hugging someone smoking a cigarette, which literally no one is going to care about. And now no one cares about it. You know, like you've got to save him up. And also she's texting Fraser while he's asleep and he gave her the job of dealing with this girl. So I don't know who you think you're making look bad, but it's kind of you because you're supposed to be managing her. Although Selene sucks. So. Let me just preface I get where Selene is coming from, but her whole like, I'm going to go tattletale at Fraser and we'll see how she likes it. And he's like, I don't care. Do you understand? Listen, the Fraser without a bob would have cared, but this new Fraser doesn't. And she's wildly entertaining.
I mean, like Rambo, like, her tattling is just delivered in such a sort of like angry kid sister way that no one takes it seriously. And she just needs to work on her gravitas. She needs to, instead of doing things like, Fraser, so you didn't give Selene her break. We're not doing breaks yet, right? Because she's out there having a bowl of cereal. It's like, that's like not going to be as effective as sitting down and saying, I'm doing a lot of the work. I need you to help here as my supervisor because I'm reaching my wit's end because she's not doing what she needs to do and it's affecting my performance or something like that. But like the tattling means that when you get to a situation like this, you're just not taken seriously. And it's actually kind of bullshit because I just think that like Fraser has Selene's back more than Rainbow's and he should have Rainbow's back more, but she doesn't make it easy for herself by being so tattly.
Well, we all know, you know, when there's two little kids and one runs to their mom constantly, it's like, oh my God, Ronnie trying to pull out my eyelashes. Eventually the mom's just going to be like, you know what? No one likes a tattletale. You know what, Carly? No one likes a tattletale. Go to your room. And then she gets in trouble. And meanwhile, I've got like eyelashes that I'm gluing onto my doll and I'm just happy as pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just how it is. She's the tattletale. No one likes the tattletale. And also she tattletales badly because she's like, oh my God, she's drinking with the guests and she's fucking around. And then she's drinking white wine while she cleans. Okay. But you put while she cleans into the complaint, which means she's actually working and drinking white wine. And no one's going to get mad at her for doing that on the last night. They're just not.
And honestly,
no one would.
But also if you're going to, if you're going to like spend the energy to tattle, you're basically tattling into a void. You might as well at this point, like tattle to Carey, right? Like it's your last night. If Selene's gonna go for it, why don't you go for it? Why don't you be the Selene of tattling and just
get petty.
And just tell Captain Carey and let him do a symbolic firing? Because honestly, I can't imagine that a captain would be happy about that. I feel like a captain would say, "I don't care." Like, "I don't care if it's day one or day Z. You're out of here. This is a super yacht. You gotta have standards, and let this be a lesson so you can grow, you flourish. And what an honor it's been here for me to see you flourish as I follow you." Like, I would have loved that.
Well, and also stop picking up her slack and just say, "Hey, Fraser, it's 2 a.m. I've done 75% of this list. I'm exhausted. Selene's drunk and is refusing to finish. So you deal with that how you want to deal with it. Bye." And that's it. Like, if Fraser wants to be like this the whole season and let you take up the slack, then just say, "Listen, Fraser, I've done more than I can do. And like, legally, it's probably not legal because it's international, but like, my union says I need this amount of sleep and she's not doing her job. So I'm going to go ahead and leave that up to you." And then boom, leave it up to him. And then that frustration falls on him. But like, picking up all season and then complaining about it, like doing all of her work for her and then complaining about it, is just not the way to go. And I see why she's doing it, because she wants to prove that she's like the hardest worker, but that comes with a price tag. You just need to say she's not doing her job and the job doesn't get done when everybody's woken up, and she gets yelled at. You won't get yelled at. She will. And Fraser is ultimately the manager of all of you. So if she's not getting it done, Fraser is ultimately responsible. So I think she just needs kind of a different tactic, because Rainbow is, you know, as a person, probably super annoying, but she's a good worker and she's painting herself into a corner with all this enabling bullshit.
I think we need to open up a tattle clinic for future stews. Like, listen, when you get onto that boat,
better.
This is how you tattle.
Yeah. Okay,
this is Ben and Ronnie's tattle clinic.
Yeah. You manipulate. You do. You know, there's ways that you have to massage the situation. Crying and stomping your feet just is not it. That's not how to lead. Yeah. I mean, unless you're leading.
Look how Damo does
the free
it. Look,
Damo is the free world. Unless you're leading America, that's not really the way to lead.
I would say follow Damo's lead, because he tattles very effectively. He, although he's also a guy, and like, people tend to be more open to, I think, men tattling than women tattling. I think when woman tattles, people are like, "Oh, whatever. She's just a tattle." But then like, if a guy does it, it's like, "Oh, that's pretty cool that the bro brought me some interesting observations, you know, man." But, either way, I think, like, Damo was very effective with his tattling this season, and Rainbow just has to like, she just has to learn how to make sure her message really drives home.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifah.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley. In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron. She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy. Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Neat, it's Ronit Feldman.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.